come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled The Acts of the Apostles, a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through Acts chapters 1 through 16. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Father, as we just get into your word, Lord, we just want to bless you. We want to honor you. We want to serve you. We want to lift up your name on high, Lord. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. We want to worship at your feet, Lord. We want to hear by the power of your Holy Spirit the things that you have to say to us tonight. And Lord, we want to bring glory to your name. So we lift you up, Lord. We put you first. We set aside all the other things that are on our mind right now. And Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. This far, we have the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And you remember that the Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is with every person in the world. The Holy Spirit is with us. That is, the Holy Spirit is drawing us to Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit's work is in our lives. So he's with us. And then in John 20, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into them, and they were born again. And so the Holy Spirit then is in you. And now we're talking about how the Holy Spirit last week comes upon you. Now, it's not just sitting on top of you like the clothes of fire, but you are totally immersed. We are totally saturated in the Holy Spirit. Now, recently, there's been a bit of rain. My board went away for a few days, and we came home on Saturday. We were in the desert, and we were driving in some of that. It was a little bit scary along the way. We did put our sails up and just kind of sailed across some of the areas, and it was a little bit scary, but it was a real test of what we believed to be true about God. The rain's been coming down hard. And sometimes when the rain pours down hard, what does it do? It washes things away. It washes things down the mountain. Houses are going down the mountain. Different pieces of dirt and all of the boulders and stuff are going down the mountain. But sometimes when we liken this to the Holy Spirit, sometimes the Holy Spirit pours on us so mightily that it just washes away that stuff that doesn't belong. That stuff that doesn't, it has no place in us. It's inappropriate. It doesn't belong to us. We want to get rid of it, and with the Holy Spirit just washes that away. But then there are other times when the Holy Spirit is like that gentle rain. It just is a constant rain that's able to soak in. It doesn't wash off the top layer. It soaks in, and it creates that ability to grow things and to change things and to soak in us. So that's what it's like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that we would be saturated in the Holy Spirit. And how do we know that that happens? It so immerses us that it is natural for us to change. And one of the things that changes is it causes us to start listening and responding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Listening and prompting of the Holy Spirit. In our text, we see a complete change in Peter. All of the disciples, really, but our text is dealing with Peter. And we see that change in him. The baptizing of the Holy Spirit changed something about Peter. It gave him super abilities. He became a superhero. not a superhero. He had super abilities that were given to him by the Holy Spirit. And we have those super abilities when God baptizes us with his Holy Spirit. In our text, we see Peter, it gave him power to be Jesus' witness. And so in our text, we see Peter stopping at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Stopping at the prompting of the Holy Spirit and saying, catch my eye, look into my eyes, pay attention to me. And this particular portion of our text, this thing about the lame man, it is an evangelical teaching right here with this very first part with the lame man. It works so well to show us how to be born again. And so he says, look at me. When we look at Jesus, when we look at Jesus' eyes, when we catch his eye, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, it changes who we are. And so Peter says, look at me. And before, it had changed him in a way that before, Peter had hidden himself as much as possible. Remember when he stood and he said, oh, I don't know him. He ran away from things rather than fixing his eyes on someone. We see him reaching out, and before he would pull back. And Jesus says, reach out and take my hand. Just reach out and take my hand. We see him lifting up another by the power of the Holy Spirit. And before, he only thought of himself. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to become Christ's witnesses. When we are Christ's witnesses, we are evangelists. We are evangelizing. This is not my teaching for the retreat or for when leaders lead. This is just, the Lord has just put this on my heart. This is, we have the power to evangelize because we just naturally talk about Jesus. He comes bearing, the Holy Spirit comes bearing gifts, gifts that are needed at a certain point to bring people to Christ. God will give you all you need to accomplish whatever he's called you to do. He will give you all you need to accomplish whatever he has called you to do. Our text records the first miracle of the disciples and the second sermon of Peter. We find Peter and John together. They're together going to the temple. They're going to the temple for daily prayer. Daily prayer was at 9 a.m., noon, and at 3 p.m. Now, in this time of the new church, when everything was getting formed, they held tightly to some of the things that they did, the rituals or whatever. And I am so excited that they held on to this particular ritual, that they held on to these times of prayer. And I'm going to say again, we have prayer every morning here at 7 a.m. If you want to join us, it's at 7 a.m. Friday mornings, 9:30 a.m. Right here, we can pray together, and there is power in that prayer. I'm so excited that they held on to that. And so now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which was 3 p.m., and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried to that gate. A certain man. I love that it doesn't give his name, because when we have that phrase, a certain person, it says what happened with him can happen for me. It was a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. He is seated. He is laid there every day. He was lame from the day he was born. 40 years, we'll learn, he was lame from the day that he was born, and he has been at the temple door, never inside the temple, only at the door. Never inside the temple, only at the door. He was unclean. He was imperfect. He couldn't go in. And that's what God does with us. We are imperfect, and God brings us to that place where we can enter in. And so others took him there. Others took him there, but he couldn't go in. He was considered unclean. He was at the gate that led into the court of the women, which was just outside the gate of the Gentiles. Everyone could be in there. Men and women could go into the court of women. The men on their way to the women, through to the temple, and the women would remain there in the court of the women. His friends have brought him to the entrance. Maybe even it's been his family who brought him there. Our friends and our family can bring us so far. We can bring people to the door, but we can't force people to praise God. We can't force people to be born again. We can't force them to do the things that we know that they really need to do, but we can bring them to the door. And they brought the lame man to the door, the man who was imperfect, considered unclean. It's up to us to enter in. The gate is called Beautiful. It was 50 cubits high, 10 cubits bigger than any of the other doors there. It was so laden with silver and gold that it took, I believe it was 4 or 6 men to open the gate because of how much was on it. It was a gate called Beautiful. It was a gate called Beautiful. We sing the song to Jesus, "You are beautiful, you are beautiful, you are beautiful." And this just reminds us, this gate is perhaps the gate that is today sealed up, the gate where the Messiah would come through. And they called it the gate called Beautiful, because he's beautiful. And he will be beautiful as he comes in. Jesus is at that gate whereby we enter in, that we might bring praise and worship to the one who is worthy of all praise and honor and glory. Now, this gate called Beautiful is in sharp contrast to this beggar that sits at that door. Does he look out of place? He's certainly noticeable there with all that beauty. And there he is, every day of his life, that's where he was, at the gate called Beautiful. In that sharp contrast, people coming in would have coins in preparation for paying the temple charges. And Peter says, "Fix your eyes on me, Peter," and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something, and then Peter says, "I can't give you something I don't have." And we cannot give someone else something that we don't have. If we don't have a prayer life, we can't instill in someone else a prayer life. If we don't have that tight relationship with the Lord, we cannot instill in someone else that relationship with the Lord. We can't give what we don't have. Peter says, "I can't give you what I don't have. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter exercised the gift of healing that has been put into action since the Holy Spirit has come upon him. He didn't have this gift before. He didn't have this ability before. He didn't have this super ability before. And he reaches down and he takes his hand just like Jesus does to us. And he takes down, he reaches down and he takes his hand, and the man leapt up. And I would love to give you an illustration of how that looked. I would love to be able to do that because it would be so touching and you would realize what we're talking about. He leapt up. Now, how many of you have had some surgery? And after surgery, what happens? You have surgery on your legs, your knees, or whatever. What do you do after that? You go to physical therapy. Why do you go to physical therapy? Because you have to strengthen those muscles. All of those muscles have to be strengthened now so that you can stand without putting pressure in the other areas. But what happened with this guy? This guy, we don't know, were his feet all crippled up? Were they turned the wrong way? Were his bones crooked? We don't know. But what we do know is it says that he leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. Walking and leaping and praising God, he entered into the temple, a place he had never been before. Walking and leaping and praising God, he comes in with all of the piousness of the Jews that were in there worshiping. And they are there being pious and being worshipful, and all of a sudden, they, oh my God, oh, oh, and they see this man, and they recognize this man. We recognized him. He's at the door, at the gate called Beautiful, every day. We know this man. This isn't somebody that's sitting in a wheelchair and acting like they're sick. We know this man couldn't walk. We saw that his legs were all gnarled up. And look at him. He's walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. That's what's happening here. And he is walking and leaping and praising God. He has never been inside of the temple before. What was he taking in? He was holding tightly to Peter and John. And as were they all walking and leaping and praising God, as he held tightly to them, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It should be a natural thing for us to have excitement about worship and praise. It should be natural for us to be excited about worship and praise. It is a work of the Holy Spirit in us that we would be excited about the opportunity that we have to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we get that excitement. It should be a natural thing. It is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name. It's in the name. What's in the name? The name is your reputation. The name is your family. The name is your wealth. The name holds everything about you. Jesus had a reputation for bringing people up out of situations like this. He had a reputation of healing people. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then they say to him, it's the name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. Everyone, the name holds all of our, of who we are. There is power in the name of Jesus. And the people recognize him, and they saw him walking and praising God, then they knew that it was the one who sat begging the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement and at what had happened, I would imagine. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together, verse 11, to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw his opportunity, you see, again, he's being led by the Holy Spirit. He's seeing his opportunity, and he says, guys, it's not my fault that this guy's walking and leaping and praising God. It's not my fault. Don't look at me like I have something that you don't have. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that he is walking and leaping and praising God. It is in the name of Jesus. And he tells them to not blame him for it. There's nothing special about me. Let me tell you about Jesus, Peter says. I've been to places where I've seen people healed. I've been to places where I've seen people raised up from different things, and they started out small, and all of a sudden, it becomes the man who raised them up that has all of the glory. And God cannot honor that. God cannot honor that because it's not mine to take. It's not mine to hold on to. I have no power in myself. It is in the name of Jesus Christ where the power is. I can't take that glory. I can't take that honor. I can't take any. I've got to give it to Jesus. It's not mine. I can't hold on to it. And so they see him in all of that wonder. And Peter sees what's going on. He says, it's not my fault. Not only has this man been healed, but because of his healing, others are being brought to belief in Christ. You see, his healing was a witness. His healing was evangelism. He was bringing other people. It should be a natural thing for us to worship Christ. God gets the glory. God always gets the glory. Verse 13, and then the God of Abraham, and Peter is talking still, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers glorified his servant, his son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. You guys know this whole story. Not only did you study it, but you know this story. You know what happened there. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Here we see a gift of faith being made manifest. There's a gift of faith that's going on here. Faith to believe something that I couldn't believe it any other way. It is the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Get into the word of God. I know I'm speaking to the choir here. Here we are in Bible study. Stay in Bible study. When this Bible study is over, stay in the word. Stay studying the Bible. When we come to the end of May and we're no longer doing this study, stay in the Word of God. Find out what God wants to teach you through His Word. And so, he goes on to stay. So stay in the Word. It is your lifeline. Write those scriptures. Get them deep in your heart. I will always talk about those scriptures. Write those scriptures. You want to get it deep in your heart. And so we move on to verse 17. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. He's not saying it's not your fault. He said you just didn't know. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. You didn't know what you were doing, but now you know, and here's my proof, Isaiah 53. It says that the Messiah would suffer, and Jesus did that. And he has it all right here, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, verse 18, he has thus fulfilled. And what should you do, verse 19? Repent, turn around, be converted, turn around, go the other direction. We talked about that last week. Completely around, turn around, and go in the other direction. Therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. I got a few things going on in my life. Anybody else got a few things that are going on in your life? A few really tough things that are going on in your life? Mine's just getting old. You know, that's a tough thing. Come on, give me a break. Tough things going on in our lives. But in those tough things, we have a fullness of joy. Why? Because we're in his presence. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, a peace that surpasses understanding, if you will. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And then it goes on to say, and that he may send Jesus, verse 20, Christ, who was preached to you before. So I've told you all about this, where? In Malachi 3:1. Malachi 3:1, it says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." Where are we in the text? We're in the temple, right? So he has suddenly come to his temple. "Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts, whom heaven," verse 21, "must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Jesus is just sitting there waiting for the Father to say, "It's time to go get him. It's just time to go get him." Can you see him going, "Dad, can I go now? Can I go now? Can I go again? What? Dad, how about if I go now?" I don't know. Does he do that? I don't know. I can see him doing that because he's so excited to have his bride. You see, we're his bride. We're talking about the rapture of the church. We're talking about those people that have so given over their lives. They are immersed. They are baptized in his Holy Spirit. They have that. They are immersed in him, saturated by the Holy Spirit. And they hear that word, "Come on up here." And in the twinkling of an eye, that's faster than that. In the twinkling of an eye, we're all going to be changed. And we'll be taken up. And then all the tribulation happens, or 3.5 years of tribulation, or whatever you want to believe in that. I just know, okay, there are people who believe that the rapture is pre-tribulation. There are people who believe that mid-tribulation, and there are people who believe post-tribulation. All I know is I'm going up with the first bunch, and I'm taking you guys with me. So we be ready, be ready. And he goes on to say in verse 22, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you.'" To the Jews, he's talking to the Jews. He's talking to them in the temple. "Raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days." This was all done for you, Peter says. It was all done for you. It is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. To the Jew first. It was done for you. God promised to do this for you. "I promised you this," God says. "To you first. You are the sons," verse 25, "of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities by forgiving your sins. To you first, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your sins. Every one of you from your iniquities. He had offered every one of them salvation. Salvation is offered to all. To all. There is no one that Christ did not die for. No one. But if I won't receive that gift of eternal life, there's nothing he can do about it. Is there something that God can't do? Yeah, he can't make me accept him. So yes, there are things. He can do all things, but there is something that he can't do. He won't force me to follow him. "This that you see is witness. It shows you who Jesus is by the way of the Holy Spirit." That's what we've seen in this chapter. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the word of God. Peter was greatly used by God. How was he greatly used by God? How did that happen, that he was so greatly used by God? He knew the scripture. He knew the scripture. He was able to tell them, this is what the scripture says. He knew the scriptures. He was saturated in the scripture. They were a part of him. He knew what to say. He became a man who listened to God and was moved by the Spirit because he recognized it. Peter had a great knowledge of the scriptures. He was a man of the word. We need to learn the scriptures, learn them, never stop learning them, and put your trust in the Lord and see what happens when we leave. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, that you have promised that you would come for us. Lord, that you have loved us with an everlasting love, and with your loving kindness you have drawn us. And Lord, we just, right now, just submit ourselves to you. We say, Father, would you just show me things that I need to drop off of me, things that I need to set aside, things that are clouding my vision. I thank you, Father. I thank you that you have gone before us and that you have given us the promises that we hang on to, and we look forward to your soon coming. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.